Hey, you want that to go?
Time for some news takeouts on stories we're following this week, and they are trying to reconcile the House and Senate versions of health care reform this week. In the meantime, President Obama says he favors a tax on high-priced insurance policies, so-called Cadillac plans, as a way to finance that bill. Todd Zwillick, our Takeaway Washington correspondent, why is the president coming down on the side of taxing these Cadillac plans?
Well, the interesting thing about this, Celeste, is that the president has taken a side. So seldom in this healthcare debate has the president taken sides on any of the big issues. The House, the Senate, I should say, wants to tax these Cadillac health plans. There's a lot of money there, and when you tax them, it discourages people from having really rich insurance policies that drive up costs. The House does not want these things taxed. A lot of union members have these plans. These are not plans that rich people have. The president seems to have come down on the side of the Senate here, and he's taken sides, and it's going to be a tough sell in the House. They feel like they've given enough.
Well, I assume that this is also a field day for lobbyists, both from the unions and the opposing factions.
Well, they're going at this. The conference hasn't even started, if there's going to be an official conference, and the lobbyists are going at this hard. Think about it. These Cadillac insurance plans are owned by thousands and thousands of union members. So you have the SEIU, the labor unions, the auto workers, the steel workers, wanting this tax out. They like the Senate. They like the House version. The small business lobbies are huge as well. The employer mandate requiring employers to provide insurance for their employees, that's in the House version. There are small employer requirements in the Senate version, but they're much less stringent, and there's billions of dollars at stake there. Everyone from the employers to the unions to the insurance industry, the public option is still in play, even though it's probably coming out. The insurers don't want that. And then, of course, Celeste, I know you like this one. There's the indoor tanning industry. They would love, I'm sure, for that tanning tax to come out that we've talked about. And I think they were caught a little off guard in this. I just want to tell you very quickly. In 2004, the Indoor Tanning Association spent $52,000 on lobbying. So far in this election cycle, just $8,000. I think they were on their heels. I didn't think they expected this one.
Thanks so much, Todd. Todd Zwillick's our Takeaway Washington correspondent.
Interesting. All right, it was a squeaker, but in the end, outfielder Andre Dawson got into the Hall of Fame.
The weight isn't a big factor in the scheme of things. You get frustrated when, you know, people continue to say, well, when do you think you're going to get in? And you don't really have the answer to that.
It's because outfielder for the Expos and the Cubs, Andre Dawson, got in his last year of eligibility, 77.9% of the vote. He's in, but Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen?
Well, I mean, Andre Dawson was well-liked by players. He was well-liked by the press. I think he would have been in sooner if he hadn't played it so many years in Montreal, and I'll tell you why, because he played those years on turf, and the turf busted up his knees. So I think that actually reduced some of his effectiveness. But he was a five-tool guy. He had power, he could throw, he had homers, he had doubles, and he could steal bases.
And he's pre-steroid.
He is definitely pre-steroid era. He was not pre-Jerry Curl era, but he was pre-steroid era.
But we're seeing in the voting in the Hall of Fame how this steroid issue is really going to manifest itself in baseball history.
And it's going to come up in the next couple of years. You're going to start to see in 2013, actually, Roger Clemens and some of the other guys that have been implicated in this, they're going to start to come up, and that's when it's going to really get really dicey for the sports writers to make a tough decision about who's in or who's out.
All right, quickly, we got to go, but the NBA suspended Gilbert Arenas indefinitely for admitting he brought guns to the Washington Wizards locker room. Did the NBA really drop the ball on this one, or did they have it right?
I think that they have it right. I mean, it was an incident that had happened last week between him and a fellow player where they both had guns in the locker room.
Wow.
So, you know, and at the team that used to be the Washington Bullets, this is a stain on their organization and it's a stain on the NBA. He's probably going to have to forego the rest of the $89 million left on his contract.
$89 million. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor.
Good morning.
Okay, now here's an animal takeout. That's the sound of the actual highly evolved language of dolphins. We've known for a long time dolphins, they're pretty smart. Our next guest makes the argument that means they deserve rights, just like humans. Lori Marino is a neuroscientist and lecturer in the Neuroscience and Behavioral Biology program at Emory University. Lori, do we know how smart dolphins are?
Well, good morning. We have a number of indicators from our scientific findings over the past few years that show that dolphins are extremely smart and probably in many ways on a par with what we consider to be the most intelligent animals. For instance, humans. We know from the studies of their brain size and brain structure that they are second only to modern humans in terms of their relative brain size. And we know that the behavioral findings that we have of them is consistent with this.
So you actually call dolphins non-human persons, and you have a scientific argument that they therefore deserve special rights.
My argument is that dolphins deserve respectful treatment and compassion. And one of us, Tom White, who is a presenter in this meeting that's coming up, is making the argument for them as non-human persons as a legal term.
Huh. You know, Lori Marino, I once talked to a neuroscientist who said if you could actually translate what what was going on in the brains of dolphins and hear what they thought humans were doing to the ocean, we wouldn't be able to broadcast it. It would be so nasty.
Probably.
You know, the other thing is that, Lori, in some cases we don't entirely know how smart dolphins are because there's some things that they can do that we don't understand yet.
That's right, and that's the problem with the fact that we're treating them the way we are, incarcerating them and slaughtering them all over the world. We may never know exactly what we're doing.
Okay, Lori Marino is a neuroscientist and senior lecturer in the Neuroscience and Behavioral Biology program at Emory University. And that leads us straight to the question of the day, John.
Yes, indeed. Should they have rights? Based on brain size, based on these intelligence issues.
Grace emails us. She says, give them the status. I believe dolphins are more intelligent than humans. They don't have lawyers, politicians, guns, drugs, Hummers, expensive yet ugly handbags. And it seems to me they know how to have a good time. So long and thanks for all the fish. Let us know what you think. Do dolphins deserve rights? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.